As we keep a close eye on all the moving parts of the 2026 legislative session, this week the Judiciary Committee had a public hearing in regards to several bills, including ones that focused on privacy protections. And the ACLU Connecticut actually dropped a press release after that saying that they were encouraging lawmakers to move forward with key legislation, strengthening privacy protection, civil rights accountability, and access to essential services for people across the state. Joining us now to talk more about this is Chelsea Infinity Gonzalez, who is the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the ACLU Connecticut Chapter. Chelsea, welcome. How are you?
Thanks so much. I'm doing well. Thank you.
So I know there were several bills that were looked at, and I have actually the breakdown of them. One in particular that I knew was going to come up is in regards to license plate readers. And I didn't know if you could kind of give an overarching theme or, I guess, stance from ACLU and where you think Connecticut is missing the mark.
Yeah, absolutely. So, ALPRs are automated license plate readers, cameras that are different than the speed cameras or the red light cameras in that they're constantly taking pictures of folks' plates, no matter what it is that they're doing. And they create records of where these vehicles were at particular times and locations. And they can certainly be helpful tools for things like, you know, locating stolen cars or helping to find a missing person or assisting in, certain serious criminal investigations. The bill that we testified on doesn't ban that technology or limit any of those legitimate uses. What it does is set clear rules for how ALPRs are used more broadly. So, for example, it does limit how long the data can be stored. It restricts how it can be shared and who it can be shared with, because there's been some concerns around external out-of-state agencies using our data for the wrong reasons. And it prevents our data from also being used to track people based on things like their political activity or their immigration status alone. And these are, you know, cameras that are, they scan thousands of vehicles a day. So without having some sort of guardrail in place, they can effectively create these really large databases that track ordinary drivers. And the bill that we testified on, which is HB 5449, is really about making sure that the technology is used for legitimate investigations while also protecting people's privacy. So it's a nice balance in terms of boundaries and accountability, but also ensuring that the value of the technology is recognized.
So, and I'm going to be blunt with this, Chelsea. I would imagine this is sort of a loophole in the current Trust Act for Connecticut, was the fact that these cameras could be utilized by, let's say, agencies in other states across the country who don't have a Trust Act, for example, and are able to use our data for their own investigation. So, I mean, would you say that this kind of, you know, does coincide with the Trust Act? It's basically making sure that there is also oversight and that our data cannot be used other than for Connecticut-based investigations or what that police department, you know, their jurisdiction, what they feel they need to investigate. Are the two kind of connected? Yeah. I feel like they are.
Yeah, absolutely. They're absolutely connected. And there is essentially a loophole in our Trust Act. It does already place limits on how local law enforcement can cooperate with federal immigration enforcement, particularly when it comes to things like holding someone on an immigration detainer. The concern that, you know, we at the ACLU and many advocates and community members have raised is that newer technologies like automated license plate readers weren't necessarily, you know, contemplated when the Trust Act was originally written and originally passed some years ago. And so because these are sort of newer systems, they're rapidly evolving, they, you know, can collect and share large amounts of this location data. And in some cases, you know, we've seen that that data can be accessed by outside agencies through broader data sharing networks. So the concern is, you know, we do have this Trust Act, but it also is narrow in scope and a little bit limited and doesn't necessarily touch on a technology like ALPRs. So even if local departments aren't necessarily directly cooperating with immigration enforcement pursuant to our Trust Act, the data itself and that sort of passive sharing that's been happening could still end up being used in ways that undermine the intent of the bill. So I do think that HB 5449 is trying to close that gap by being more explicit and just setting clear limits on how this data can be shared and making sure that it doesn't violate the spirit of our Trust Act and is being used for immigration enforcement.
I'm curious, though, Chelsea, who that really falls on, though, because, I mean, I've interviewed, you know, some of the big wigs like a Flock. You know, Flock Technologies is used in more than 50% of our police departments across Connecticut. I know they have been certainly controversial for a lot of communities, and I understand that. And I guess my question is, when things get changed, you know, information that is being used, again, a lot of the times it's actually not the police or the personnel who are managing these cameras or the technology. It's the company who basically has a contract with the police department. How do you effectively put the Trust Act in place? So I guess I'll even make it in simpler terms. Sorry, my brain's all over the place. If I live in a state where we don't have a Trust Act, I live in a state where there is no Trust Act. I'm an agency that is like, you know what, we're looking for a person that is residing in Connecticut illegally. Let's just say I want to access it. Who stops me from accessing it? And if I get that information, because the police department doesn't really have the control over it, I don't know if Flock does. Like, does this law make it so that Flock or any other company has to block them from getting that data? And would it still hold up in court, for example, if I do get that data in my state where I don't have a Trust Act? Like, how does this law really work, I guess? How does it actually make that difference? Like, we can address that there's an issue or that there's a loophole, but can it effectively work?
Yeah, absolutely. So this legislation is, I think, really, really helpful, because obviously relying on internal policies alone doesn't necessarily address your point, which is how vendors or broader data sharing networks operate. And so what this bill does is it places that sort of legal obligation on, you know, the vendor, in essence, right? So if a police department is contracting with a vendor to run or store ALPR data, the vendor has to follow the same legal restrictions that apply to the agency itself. And if they don't, they would essentially, you know, they could be liable for noncompliance. And the bill does explicitly prohibit vendors from selling, sharing, or otherwise distributing the data that they receive outside of what the law allows. So they would also be required, you know, the bill right now has a really short retention period of 7 days. They would be required to similarly purge our data post 7 days. You know, they can't store it beyond that. They can't distribute it. They can't sell it. So it does put a lot of the onus on vendors themselves. And of course, you know, public agencies or law enforcement departments who are also using the technology are bound by certain restrictions that are within the bill. But the bill does set clear limits there as well, in terms of, you know, Connecticut agencies not being able to share this data with out-of-state or federal agencies unless very strict conditions are met. And that would look like, you know, a judicial warrant. It might look like a written declaration that the requesting agency, again, is bound by our restrictions and can't use the data for things like immigration enforcement or, you know, to randomly find a person who engaged in protected First Amendment activities. So the goal is making sure that the rules not only apply just to police departments in terms of who the burden falls on, but also to the vendors themselves and the networks that actually store or transmit the data, so that the protections actually mean something in practice. So it will ultimately stop, you know, this sort of larger, in terms of the data sharing network itself, it will add some restrictions to ensure that if a Connecticut agency is going to join a network like, you know, Flock's network or a similar sort of technology, there have to be certain a certain threshold met, right? And it does ensure, too, that folks are responsible for how the data is handled, and that includes vendors, not necessarily just law enforcement departments or, you know, just a public agency who's using it.
We are chatting with Chelsea Infinity Gonzalez, who is the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the ACLU Connecticut. And we're talking specifically about House Bill 5449, an act concerning automatic license plate reader systems, and essentially addressing what is currently a loophole in Connecticut's Trust Act. And so, Chelsea, continuing the conversation, you had mentioned that there will be like repercussions. So if the bill passes and you're a company that did share data, for example, that goes against our Trust Act, that, you know, there would be problems. What would those problems be? Like, do they face a fine? Does the technology get shut off? Do they get suspended? Like, what would happen to the company if it's found that data from a Connecticut department was shared to another agency outside of our jurisdiction?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not structured necessarily as a criminal penalty against the officers themselves, but as a civil accountability mechanism. So if the law is violated, a court can order the agency to stop the practice and address the violation. So what that looks like in practice is, you know, if a public agency or a law enforcement agency uses an automated license plate reader system in violation of the law, for example, as you shared, they share the data improperly or they use it for a prohibited purpose, and that sort of comes to light. An individual who's harmed by that can then bring a civil action in court. And a judge can order the agency to stop the unlawful practice and can also award court costs and attorney's fees if the person bringing the case prevails. So the idea ultimately is to make the rules enforceable. If there's no accountability mechanism, then the guardrails don't really have much of a meaning. But it also doesn't necessarily rely on something like internal discipline or, other penalties that folks might deem too harsh, right? I think it's a nice balance.
My only concern with it, Chelsea, is I worry about the backlash for police. So we had a situation recently, actually, for a local police department in our listening area where they use Flock. They've been using it for a very long time, and they make the data available to people, which is great. They make it public. It's, you know, it's very easily accessible, all of that. And all of a sudden, there were five columns of information that were shared. And one day, somebody had noticed that two columns that were very important disappeared. And those columns never came back. And the person who took the brunt was the chief of police, when in fact, he had nothing to do with it. It was Flock. And my concern here is that I worry that two things. One, that police who already have, to me, a target on their back, just not in Connecticut, but across the country, are already over-scrutinized for things that they may not necessarily be doing wrong at all. But the other thing I worry about is if those repercussions include suspending using that technology, it is an incredibly important tool. To your very first point you made, I mean, that tool has helped in unbelievable amounts of, I can't even go into what I've heard from police, not just here in Connecticut, but across the country, where it has been a vital tool and, quite frankly, the only kind of saving grace in solving horrible crimes. And I worry that this will hurt police in some regard. Again, I'm not saying I disagree with it. We have a Trust Act, so it definitely falls in line with it. But, you know, is there anything in here that protects the police essentially from being kind of the middleman? They're using the technology. They're seeing there's a real need for it and that they're using it responsibly. But if the company that is they're contracted with does something wrong, I kind of feel like they're this big entity making money anyways. What's protecting our local police?
Yeah, no, that's a fair concern. And I think that situations like the one that you described are part of why having clear statewide rules can be helpful. Right now, there's a lot of departments across Connecticut that are relying on, you know, Flock Safety or different vendor systems and contracts that they didn't necessarily design themselves, but are problematic in practice. And so when something goes wrong, like that data being shared improperly, it can, to your point, end up falling on the police department or the chief, even if the issue originated with the vendor or the technology platform. And I think that one of the things that this bill really tries to do is create clearer expectations for everyone involved, including vendors themselves. So if a department is going to use this technology, the law makes it very clear that the vendor has to follow the same restrictions as the agency itself, and it can't sell or share that data outside of those limits, which actually protects the departments themselves from ending up in situations where they're being blamed for those practices that were built into the system and that they, in essence, you know, didn't have knowledge of or have nothing to do with themselves. And importantly, the bill doesn't suspend the use of ALPRs as an investigative tool altogether. Police can still, you know, use them for things like locating stolen vehicles or missing, you know, persons, you know, and more. The goal isn't necessarily taking away those tools from law enforcement, but making sure that, you know, there is transparency and clear rules with regard to how it's being used. And I think in a few ways, the bill also does protect officers with regard to clarity. Like, that is one of the biggest things that it offers, because different departments, you know, prior to this have had either no policy or different policies. And a lot of the technology has just been, you know, it's been run through private vendors, and that's all that they've been relying on. And so when something goes wrong, they end up sometimes taking the blame, even if it's something that they were not necessarily aware of and it came from the vendor system, or maybe the contract was a little bit difficult to understand or unclear. And so having a consistent statewide framework helps set departments up so they know exactly what the rules are. There's documentation that the bill requires when the system's used in specific investigations, which actually protects officers by showing that, you know, this was a tool that was appropriately used, it was appropriately tied to a legitimate investigation. And the vendor provisions also, you know, are really, really strong as well. So I think that that'll help, you know, officers in situations like the one that you described.
Well, Chelsea, I appreciate you explaining this, especially I know there were other bills that were discussed, but definitely wanted to tackle this one in particular. And I appreciate you giving us the time, and looking forward to, I'm sure, many other conversations in the near future with the ACLU Connecticut chapter. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And for those of you at home who want to read the bill and the contents of it, I will link that to Chelsea's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com.